Can you see my screen?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, good. All right, so let's see. So welcome to the July 22nd call for the use case realization. Today, CDS is going to be giving a demo with Yuri and Sarah. Oops. Editing. Edited the wrong page. Okay. All right. So let me just note who's here. I thought I was editing this. What's going on? Okay. It was slow.
Hey Ben, this is Yuri.
Hi, Yuri. And Sarah, I don't see. Okay. So actually, are you guys ready to give the demo, or I can just turn it over to you directly?
Yeah, so if you can enable sharing, the kind of session. One part is we'll give an update. Sarah will give some updates around CDS Designer, where we are in the demo of the functionality, and then we can also do like a runtime execution demo of instantiation for the VLP use case.
Sounds good.
All right. Sarah, when you're ready, you can share and present.
Yeah, so you should have access.
Okay. Can you see my screen?
Hi.
Deepak here.
Hi, Deepak.
Oh, and it's Chris. Sorry.
Hi, Chris. Hey, how are you?
Introduce myself. Good.
Okay, can you see my screen?
Yes, we can see your screen.
Okay. So I'll start from the beginning of creating or dealing with the designer. As we discussed before, the first step is to create the package, and then within this package, we can jump to the designer, and for the first time the user will create an action for this package. He will have the options to create it from scratch or maybe from other resources, but today we are discussing the custom action, which is will be a blank action the user can deal with. So from the beginning, the user will select this custom action and just give it a name. And maybe he can jump to it directly without creating anyone, and he can deal directly inside the designer view. So, okay. Here he will go through the wizard of how to deal with the designer. And this will be his first screen. Actually, we're having a symbol for this package, and we are dealing just to create some actions according to this template. And in our template, we have multiple actions. As you see here, this is a section, the action section. And user can create within the designer self a new action, and maybe he edit and delete and duplicate some actions he had. And for this type of action, the resource assignment, he will get, this is the action attributes here, where he have the name of this action, and he can edit it directly here. And the user can create the attributes from two options. He can just create from a custom attribute, the one he created himself, or he can get it from the function that are included within this action. But in our case here, we don't have any functions yet. So the one will be enabled is to create a custom action. which mainly this part is it's our big changes we have through the past few months. So the user will create a custom attribute from here. And he will get the screen. He will have the option to create attributes for the input or for the output, and he can do this in the same time. And
So it might help a little bit just to give a little context to. So last time we had Yuri and Sarah also were giving a talk on CDS, and I think we had. Now we're showing some of the runtime stuff, right? Or maybe just give a context a little bit more to like what this is and what it's for and when would you use it and why would you use it?
Okay, so to add, Ben, so Sarah's presenting the updates for the designer. This is the GUI where you create the package that that gets executed as part of runtime. So based on some discussions we had with Sarah and the CDS team, there were changes to the designer itself. And Sarah's first going to provide the updates to those changes to the designer screens that create the package that is necessary to execute as part of the runtime. So we'll start with that, and then I'll show the runtime execution itself.
Okay, great.
Okay, any questions on this screen from the different teams that are on the call? Okay, go ahead, Sarah.
Okay, so let's get back to the creation of a custom attribute. So in this screen, we are creating a custom attribute for the inputs of the current action we are within. So the properties for any custom attributes or for any attributes in an action will have a name, a description, and a type. And we are defining whether it's a required attribute or an option. So the user will fill in within this form, and he can add another attribute in the same screen, and he can delete it anytime, and he can duplicate this one. And for the type of the attribute, he has multiple types, and according to the type, a different form and input will appear to the user. And this screen is just showing that he created this attribute and he can create another one. So after the user create multiple attributes, he will list here for the inputs and outputs, and we are showing the required and not required. And he, of course, again, he can delete or edit the one he created. And this one we discussed, we have more complex than the string and the integer types. To save the user time and without going to the editor mode, he can just type in the other types he has by selecting the other from the type and just typing the other types. Okay, so here the user just drag and drop one function from this side to the canvas here. He's just trying to start the flow of this action. And for the function attribute, this one, the selected one, once he selected the function he has, he will get the function attribute side here. And of course, he can just edit the attributes of this function, and he can add another inputs and outputs and to select the artifact prefix name and the artifacts. In this side, this is automatically the user, once the user add a function, all the required attributes will be implemented and appear here in this section, whether for the inputs or the outputs. And he can anytime add other attributes from the option one. Maybe I can show you from the example we have. So this is one of the functions the user can deal with. This is the resource resolution component. And as you can see here for the interface section, these are the inputs. He has this optional attributes, and he have some required attributes. These are the ones that are will be within the function. And the other attributes that are not required, the user can get from them any time. And we are implementing this in the screen. So these are the main required attributes. By clicking on this button, he will get, he can have the option to select from the other optional attributes. And for the artifact name, the user will have two options to select from. He can trigger the template name or the template prefix. And both will go to the template store to select from it. So as you can see here from the screen, we are listing all the templates inside this package. And here, these are the artifacts we have to select. And he can delete it anytime, and he can get, and again, he can go back to the select template, and he can get more something to the artifacts. Any comments here?
So for those inputs, how do you define what those are from this GUI? So you see, you have the inputs and outputs in the interfaces. Is there a temp? You say there's a template name, and you can select a template. Is that, how do you edit that template, or how does somebody define what those inputs and outputs are?
So let me address that question, Sarah. So each component has an input is modeled with an input value and an output set of attributes, okay? So when you select a component, if you select resource resolution component, for example, and you want to say, you know, that resource resolution component will have a set of attributes that are required and will have for inputs and outputs, right? And will have a set of attributes that is optional for inputs and outputs. What we are doing in this UI is we, in the interface input section, we will always display the required, the set of attributes that are said that are required. So artifact prefix name and request ID is a required attribute for component resource resolution. So it will be automatically displayed to the users. If the user wants to add optional attributes, then he can select add optional attributes, and he can select from the list of optional attributes that is defined for that specific component. Okay, so what you're seeing now here is the of component resource resolution, what are the required parameters that are always selected, and then there are additional optional attributes that the users can also select from. Now, this is just the interface definition of the component, okay? It's not the input and output definition of the workflow action. The workflow action is what Sarah shared in the previous screen, and there is a form of how you can define what is a what is an input and what is an output there as well. So Ben, does that answer your question? Artifact prefix names are the templates. So with CDS framework, right, you have a template store where you create your like velocity templates or Jinja templates, right? And you create your mapping files. So a resource resolution component has an artifact prefix, which basically will take from the template store either the template name and mapping name, or just the template name, or just the mapping name. So the artifact prefix name or names is just a attribute that resource resolution supports, and for this we allow, there's a custom way where you can allow to select from the template store what are the templates and mapping files that you're interested in, and that's what Sarah also just shared.
One question, right?
Yeah.
How do you create their template from scratch? From where? So
the velocity templates, usually the vendors would provide the velocity templates, or the velocity templates can be written, you know, in some, you know, in the designer screen itself, or you can, you know, or you have a file for that velocity template, you can always import it as well.
Okay.
We'll show a demo of how you can import a template or mapping file shortly. Once Sarah's done with the, you know, with the updated screens. Okay?
Sure.
All right. So, Sarah, any other questions on this specific screen?
I have one question. So, okay, I'm Deepak, and this is my first call. Okay. Please correct me if I'm wrong anywhere. So we will be having only resource assignments here, right? And resource resolution happens at runtime. Am I right?
So that's correct. What we're doing here is defining a model that we're going to use within a specific workflow to execute a resource resolution that happens as part of runtime. So you'll have an action. The action could be, you know, assign the VDNS or config assign or config deploy or some other any action that you can come up with. And for that specific action, you might have different components you want to use to execute. You might want to do some resource resolution. You might want to execute a netconf component. You might want to execute a script component that can use Python or you know, another type of you know, Kotlin script type of execution or Go execution if you like. So within a workflow, you will define all the different actions that you want to execute using that different set of components. And for each of the components, you can also define what are the inputs, what are the outputs for those components are, and you can also define what templates they will use, you know, you want to use for execution within that component as well. So this specific designer will allow you to design all your provisioning set of actions and configuration management actions that can be then distributed and executed as part of runtime. All right. Any other questions?
Sorry. Continuation to this. Can I define relationships in the model? For example, in order to update my IP details during runtime resolution, CDS needs to talk to the IPAM and get the IP details. And if I need some multiple IP details, I need to call multiple times. So can I define a relationship while designing the variables itself?
Absolutely. And that's something we will share. Sarah will do the demo. So you will have a way to define all the variables you need to resolve that is needed for different templating, right? It could be a heat template or Helm template, or it could be just for a configuration that you're using to push using Velocity or Jinja. There's a way to define the different variables, and for each variable, you can find a dictionary that can be used to resolve of that specific set of attributes. And those attributes will be resolved as part of runtime itself. So there is a mechanism to do this in this specific designer UI.
Got it.
Okay, any other questions? Thank you very much, Sarah, for going to the workflow action screen. You can proceed with the next screen.
Okay, we will have the same option for the template prefix, and we'll show him the list to add and select from within it. And again, we will have the list of the artifacts relating to this function. And as we are starting from the beginning, we mentioned that there will be an option to select some functions from the some attributes from the functions within the action. And now, as long as we have at least one function within this action, we can go and select some attributes within it for this action. And this button will be enabled then. And actually, this screen, we're still working on within it for how to implement the poll from the function. But as in a preview, in this screen, the user will select what function he wanted to get some attribute from it. And once he select the function, he will see all the attributes inside this function, and he can get any as long as attributes he wants for this action. And that will apply for all other functions the user will create with, for this workflow. As you can see here, the user is still creating the workflow. He can select another function and create the workflow, maybe a parallel workflow, or maybe like you can see here, we have this type of flow. And he can go for a complex and more parallel workflow here. And of course, for each function within this action, there will be another function attributes that are different from each other. And the same steps will be applied until we can have this complex workflow. This is just an example of a workflow the user can deal with within this designer. And maybe you can go to the template now, as long as the user has some functions. So this is our template. And in this template, we are defining the capabilities and the requirements within each function. And here we can create the relationship that you were asking for. This is an example for the relationship. So this is a relationship between a requirement and a capability from the NetF, the NF account collection and the NetCom device. And to create another relationship, the user will have to select the capability from within a function. You can see here, but just clicking on this function, there will be an arrow to the user can drag from this capability to the requirement function. This is how we're moving here. And here the user just created a relationship between these two functions. And here he is defining the relationship type. So any question on the screen?
So how did you connect these things? Were they, do you just drag and drop them, or how do they get created, these links?
Yeah, it's just dragging and drop. It's a manual action here, and maybe we can, I think we can have the enrichment to create the connection.
Okay, I see.
And of course, the user can go to the editor anytime. Maybe he can try to edit it or add. This is the old tool that is currently working on the designer editor, the CDS editor. Sorry.
So let me just add one comment there. So there's two views you see here, right? There's a template view, what Sarah is showing now, and we also saw the workflow view. The workflow view is basically defining the steps, and the template view is based on the steps and the function you selected. You will also see the relationship of all of those components as well. So that's the, you know, and this is within an action, within a workflow action that you're selecting. So you may have, you know, config assign action or resource resolution action or any other action. For each of the actions, you'll have a different set of components. And then if you want to see the relationship of those components within that action, you would go to this template view itself. So I just wanted to add that additional comment there as well.
And how do you switch between those two views? Is there a...
Sarah, can you show them workflow on Tumblr?
Yeah, you can switch from these tabs here. And each action will have a workflow and a template tabs.
I see. Okay, thanks.
Any other questions?
Yeah, just a question for the configuration action that you're showing here. If I want to change certain parameter in the runtime, how to do it?
Can you say, what do you mean, Zoo, that you want to change something in runtime?
Yeah, if I have an instance running and they have certain configuration parameter, let's say, and I want to change one of them, can I use this flow to do that or should I?
Right, so what you would do is you would create an action for doing a modify. And for that modify action, you'll have a resource resolution component that will resolve whatever the new attribute that you want. Or you pass that attribute as input. And then you can use a script, a Python script, or a netconf, or CLI to change that, you know, to modify that, you know, that attribute as part of runtime. So what you're modeling here is the action of modify. And then for that modify, you'll use a component of resource resolution, and then you'll have an execute of either netconf or Python or CLI or restconf or maybe a Go script, right? That would be executed to change that in the network. Or you can use ODL to change that in the network as well, right? So you can, there's different mechanisms to push changes into the network.
Yeah, but that sounds like very similar to if I want to change the parameter using CLI in SDNC to do it. It's just automate, is it?
Well, in SDNC, you would have to create a DG, right? Uh-huh. You have to add changes to the Yang model. So that all of that would require code changes, right?
Okay.
In here, what we're talking about is this is a runtime a design time GUI that does not require you to a development cycle for making changes. That's the major difference between, you know, the designer approach versus the coding approach.
Mm. Okay, I see. Yeah, but that building block is not exists yet today.
Which building block?
Those parameter change I'm talking about. Because in this demo, I think you showed a few actions on the menu that you have configure, sign something, but none of them can apply to the procedure I'm talking about, right?
We actually support for the closed loop use case, we support something called scale out reconfiguration. As part of that scale out reconfiguration, we modify the streams or something like that. So what I want to say is that, yes, there is something that, you know, does a modification using CDS for control loop use case. It's specifically for scale out reconfiguration.
Okay.
But you can also, you know, there are other teams that are, I know that Vivek from Arana Networks, I believe, he's working on a POC that's doing PNF changes using this, this type of setup. So I believe there will be some other use cases in the Goolean release that you can see how that could be done.
Okay, thanks.
Sure. Any other questions? Okay, if Sarah, are we done with the design updates? Can we go to the CDS UI?
Yeah, I'm done here. I think we can go to the deployed version. Okay. So this is, yeah, go ahead.
Can you just, what we saw was the InVision design updates, right? And this is the real implementation in here that we're, you know, the orange team is leading to implement. So go ahead, Sarah.
Okay, so this screen is just listing all the packages inside the CDS, and for each package, you can go and go directly to the configuration of this package, and you could go directly maybe within, but later we will have an option to go directly from the designer screen, from this button without just entering the configuration screen. I think we can start by creating a package from the beginning. Okay, so here we are listing all the data required for creating a package. We'll have a section for the metadata, which is the mandatory data that should be entered to create a package. And without it, we cannot save this package. Here we are defining the mode, and we will have a scripting and generic scripting mode later, but it's not implemented yet. Here we are just typing the package name. And we are defining the version of this package. Okay. And this from this section, we can just define any custom keys. We're just adding a name and a value for it. Okay. And by entering these data, we can directly create a package. Okay, so now we are having a package that we can continue and filling all the data required. Here we are listing some information, and from here the user can go directly to the designer mode, and the deployment, of course, is not implemented yet. And here we are having the template and mapping. I think there were a question about the template creation. And the templates are we are using from to select within for the artifact name prefix. So just give it a name. And to create a template, we have two sections. The user can do both, or maybe one of them. We have the template section and the mapping section. And sometimes there's a dependency on the template if the user wanted to just use the template attributes he including here. We have some types of the template, the velocity and the Jinja. I'm creating the velocity type here. Okay, this is our file. And these are some attributes here. And to go to the image mapping, I can use this one, or I can import a different file by selecting this option, but I will use the current template instance. Sorry, I think we're having an issue here. Maybe I can use a different file. This is a CSSV file. I'm sorry, I think we're having an issue on the screen. But just once I click on the use current template instance, I think I can show the designer of it. Maybe we have an issue with our server now. So here we're having an updated version, but not all of these features are implemented yet. So the user type, or maybe select a file, a velocity file to print some instance, and by using this instance, this is the file that has, this is the instance that has been, we map these files, these attributes. Okay. Yuri, can you give more details on this mapping table?
Right, so these are all the variables that you want to resolve as part of runtime. So this information could either come from your template, right? Because you might have a velocity or Jinja template that you want your runtime to resolve, and you can use different capabilities from an EIPAM, from a database, maybe from AI, or maybe you might have an OSS BSS system, or maybe you have a script that resolves some set of variables that you want to use to as part of this template or mapping itself, and this is the mapping file that allows you to do that. So you can for each of the variables, you can define what is the sources, and for that source, as part of runtime execution, CDS with Blueprint Processor would call those capabilities and resolve those specific parameters. And it's calling the capabilities based on dependency. So if you have one resource that is dependent on the other resource is resolved first before you resolve the, you know, second resource itself. Any questions, team?
Can you elaborate a little bit more about those sources? What is the possible choice we have?
So there are different type of use cases, right? If you have a velocity template or a Jinja template, then you are what happens is when you click on use current template instances, we will parse the velocity and Jinja file and pick up all the variables from the velocity and Jinja files. So you see things like $VFW is a variable. Dollar interface description is a variable. So we will pick up those variables and put them in the mapping folder below. And for each of the variables that we pick up, you then can decide what capability you want to use to resolve those specific variables, right? So you can use capabilities like an EIPAM or IP management capability, like a NetBox, or you can use a database capability for extracting resources, or you can use MDSAL, or you can use retrieving data from inventory system or your OSS BSS systems, right? Those are your different dictionary sources that you will have. Or you may want to use some script to resolve that specific parameter, right? Itself. So you can, within your mapping screen, the main idea here is that you can, for each of the variables that you want to need to resolve plus by runtime, you can define ways you can resolve it using the mapping section itself.
Okay, in the screen, I see that you have input. Is that means you have to give the value in the command line or something?
Input means that either an external system passes this information input because it might, you know, it could be like a VNF ID or service instance ID, which is created by MSO when it creates the objects in AI, right? So those things could be passed as input from external system, or input could mean that it's being passed by the users, right? To some sort of, you know, form like vid or some other type of GUI that provides information as input. So the users can specify if things should be resolved through input or things should be resolved through capability, different set of REST capabilities, or database capabilities, or through scripting capabilities itself. Now, ultimately, we want zero touch, where we use only capabilities to resolve things, but we know sometimes that may not happen instantly, so you may have to pass things as input itself, right? Or that input variable could, you know, help resolve using capabilities other set of variables themselves, right? So it could be an input of a policy, and using that policy, you can resolve a name, you can resolve IPs, and you can resolve other things. So, you know, that idea here is that we know that input is one form of way of resolving a resource or attribute, and there could be other ways of resolving attributes, and all of that is defined in the dictionary source. Mm-hmm. Any other questions?
Thanks.
All right. So use current template is one way that we use velocity templates for resolving that. There could be ways we also get things from ASDC, that's import from ASDC itself. And usually, you know, if you use the import from SDC, that means you have a heat template, you're not using a velocity template, you're not using a Jinja template to generate the content you need. All you need is to provide the name value pairs that are just the information that is needed to, that is passed to from MSO to OpenStack for or to multi-cloud for a CNF use case, let's say, for resolving a set of attributes. So input from SDC is essentially saying that, you know, there is no velocity template, there won't be a Jinja template, there will be just a set of attributes we want to resolve using an netbox, a naming microservice, or AI, or other set of capabilities or input that can be passed to MSO as part of the instantiation of the of creation of the heat resource or the CNF resource itself, the pod. Okay, and if you select import from SDC, you'll get this type of screen. Now, this is not yet implemented. This is, you know, this is something that's going to be work in progress as we move forward with the Google Lean release. All right, so I think we can go back to the GUI itself. And maybe we can showcase the scripting.
Yeah.
Okay.
And here I'm selecting just the script file. And these script files, the user can edit inside this editor. He can delete any of them. Okay, the definition too. And again, the user can edit these files. These are the attributes we are using inside the designer for the functions we are using. And for the external system syndication, the user can type it directly, or maybe he can copy and paste the properties here. And for this package, the user can clone it, and he can archive it anytime and download it. This is a file. These are the data we just included. And if I actually, I didn't save that. Okay, let's download it again, the new data. Here are the files we included, definitions. This is the important section, the file we imported. Any question on the screen? Hello?
Is there like an access control to who is able to do what in this interface?
That's a great question, Ben. Right now, we did not implement RBAC, but RBAC will be very critical to this implementation here.
Okay, thanks.
So, one thing I'll add is that if anyone is interested in help us accelerate some of the development on, you know, for CDS Designer, please let us know. We're always looking for new developers to come and join the community to help, you know, develop some of the functionalities we have here. I think the most of the work that is remaining is within the designer mode. You know, the metadata template and mapping script and definition folder is completed. So it's about the designer itself, where you have your functions and attributes that you can drag and drop and create your custom, you know, any type of workflow and so on. All right. Sarah, was there anything else we want to share with the UI? If not, I can proceed with the runtime demo.
Yeah, please, Yuri, go on, proceed.
All right, so here we go. Sarah, can you stop sharing? And so this way I can pick up sharing. All right. Can you see my screen?
Yes.
Let's see. Okay. So what I wanted to start with is I'm gonna create a package. So I already, I'm assuming everybody knows how to import a heat file for VLB. So right now I'll just create a service. I'll call it the VLB04 itself. I'll select, a description for it. It's category layer 1 to layer 3. Let's create it. So now that the service is created, we can go to composition screen and we can go select the VLB CDS resource itself. So this resource was created based on heat itself. It's like any other VLB CDS resource. So if you want to use CDS for macro orchestrating your VLB use case or any other use case, there are a few things that you would have to do. So you would have to go first to the property assignments folder and select that specific resource, and you would want to update some metadata information about this resource. Okay, so you want to add what the artifact name is. So in our case, it's VNF. You want to add, what is the CDS model name is. What Sarah was working on, it would be an example like VLB CDS, and the model version is 1.0.0. If you have other type of CBAs, you may, you can always, change the version or change the model name to incorporate those CBAs as well. Once you save it.
Sorry, you're just a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, this artifact name, is that one-to-one mapping to the model name and the model version?
No, the artifact name is the artifact name of the, of the VNF name that you want to do a VNF assign for as part of your macro instantiation. What the first thing SO does is it does a service assign, VNF assign, and does all the VF module assign. As part of VNF assign, you want to know what is the artifact name you want to use in order for resolving the CDS set of resources. And usually we always use the name of VNF for all the type of different heat files we might have to resolve VNF set of templates and mapping files that we have.
Yeah, but in the CBA lookup, which is your CDS self-service API, you only need the model name and the model version, right? You don't need the artifact name.
No. So let me show you one example, okay? Model name and model version is okay if you know what templates you're working on, okay? If you don't know what templates you're working on, then you need more than model name and model version. So let me show you one thing here. I want to collapse this. Okay, here you go. You can see here, artifact prefix is get input, okay? The possible inputs could be VLB, VNF, VDNS, VPKG, and base template. Since SO is doing the orchestration and we don't know how it's going to be orchestrating, and this information is being passed as input, we have to set the artifact name of what's going to be passed to SDNC and CDS as part of the orchestration. So VNF is what we are using as the artifact name for VNF level assignment. Okay, there are other use cases where you can set that artifact prefix. This is what you are talking about, your set of use cases where you are saying that it's a base config or it's some other, it could be incremental config or some other type of template you want to work on. With those use cases, you don't need to pass the artifact prefix name or the template prefix. But for the VNF orchestration use cases, you do need it because it's set as input and SO is orchestrating how each of the heat templates are being executed. Okay.
So your CBA packages can be applicable for multiple different, I don't know how it's called. There's a VNF, VLB, it's a different type of model or something?
Right, your CBA can be for a specific CBA heat file, or it could be, or you can create a generic CBA that can resolve multiple heat files. It all depends on on the set of requirements you get. So it's you have the flexibility you need to create what you need with this framework itself.
Okay, thanks.
So once you update your artifact name, model version, the one other thing that we also do is we also update the controller actor. So controller actor is something that was introduced in Frankfurt release. So in our case, it's going to be CDS. And we also want to set the skip post instantiation flag to false, because as part of VNF orchestration, we want to do some post instantiation configuration as well. So once we save this, so the one thing I want to add, if you want to do maybe control loop use case, you might have to add other like DCE blueprint inventory file to this specific resource. But if you don't want to do control loop, then you can go ahead and certify this service, and you can go ahead and distribute it as well. Okay, so once I certify, I'll also click on distribute. And here I'm distributing the service. So this would distribute the service to all the ONAP components. And the ONAP components will know now that for VLB CDS service 04, you have that metadata that we set as CDS actor is CDS, the skip post instantiation flag is false, and the SDNC metadata will also be set with the blueprint name, version, and also the artifact name. Any questions so far?
Yeah, Yuri, just still same question that I asked about the artifact name. In the CDS self-service API, do you need to include that name there, or you don't have to?
So in the self-service API, what will happen is that SDNC will pass the template prefix name. Yes, it will be passed. It's passed by SDNC to CDS. So it's something that we have a contract with SDNC, is that when SDNC communicates with CDS, SDNC always passes the template prefix names, because we want to know exactly if we're doing, the VNF level assignment, or we're doing the base level assignment, or we're doing VDNS or VLB or any of the other add-on BF module itself.
But that's, you're only talking about pass it from SDNC to CDS. What about SO?
SO doesn't need the template prefix, because whenever we have the SO actions usually deal with a specific template prefix that is defined for a given action. So we don't use a get input template prefix definition. We use a template prefix definition that actually defines the template prefix definition as part of that component itself. So okay. In our SO contract, we don't send the template prefix, okay? And okay. I want to say we also don't send it, because all our actions today are really done at VNF level. If we wanted to get our actions to be done at VF module level, and we had different templates and mappings that we needed to support at different VF module levels, then that might require us, SO to pass the template prefix. But so far, all our use cases don't need it. And, we're fine without having that information at this point in time.
Okay, thanks.
So I can say the information has been distributed. I have done already a service 03. I'll show you what that looks like. That's going to take some time for distribution. So basically, you'll have a bunch of component OKs. And once this is done, then you can go ahead and use Postman for doing the macro instantiation. I have done one already for VLB service 03. And let me see if I can do one more. Give me 1 second. Okay, yeah, this one is already completed. So what this macro request basically does, it's gonna send the call to SO to do a macro orchestration of the VLB CDS use case. If you look here in the inputs that are required, you have to make sure that for your own app environment or your OpenStack environment, you're using the right on app private net ID information that usually changes whenever you do the OpenStack installation. And you also use the right security group information. Other than that, usually most of this other data is pretty much, you can say, hard-coded for an ONAP use case, and you don't need to change. But usually, the SEC group, ONAP private net ID and subnet ID changes, so make sure you make those changes whenever you're doing this type of use case execution. So if you have Postman, you can execute this through Postman. There's also a robot script that you can use to execute this type of request as well. And we're automating that script to be much more advanced from an automation perspective in the Boolean release itself. So we should have fully automated, not just through Postman, but through robot of execution, executing the VLB instantiation, post instantiation use case, and also the control loop use case. That's the current target that we're going after. So here you can see I'll run it again. But you can see here, I'll show you that we had an open stack of how this would look like. Give me 1 second. Intel. Okay, so you can see here, we have instance group. Actually, I want to go to orchestration, and I'll go to stacks. All right, so this is what I orchestrated recently. It was 4 hours ago, I did a sample. I'm doing another orchestration now, so it's going to take a few minutes to kind of go through the process, but you'll see the base template will be resolved, the VPKG, VLB, and the VDNS. All the resource resolution will also be resolved through SDNC, and I can show you that how that looks like as well. Okay, you can see now it's going through the assignment process. These are the SDNC logs that we have. If I show you the Postman at this point in time for the request status, you will see that we are like in step 8 and we're about to do, we completed we're doing the create VF module. So now you will see the base template being created, and after the base is created, you'll see all the add-ons also being created as well. Okay, and once the add-ons are created, we will also execute the post instantiation configuration for this request as well. Any questions so far? All right. If there's no questions, Ben, this usually takes a few minutes. I don't know if you want to stay on or.
Yeah, I can stay on. It's fine. This is interesting. So I didn't quite get all these on the left there, the collections, those are things you've already defined, right? Did I understand that right? On the previous screen that you just showed us. All of these things, are they these, I didn't quite understand the collections. Those are ones that are already there, or somebody made them, or do you?
So the Postman collection is already, you can say, shared. We have a wiki for the VLB execution use case for Frankfurt.
Oh, so they're specifically for that use case.
Yes, it's for this use case. And for this use case, you basically can follow the VLB CDS guidelines of how to, what components you need, right? It starts with that for Frankfurt, and also talks about, you know, the design time activity. So this one is about installation required. Once you install ONAB, you know, what are the other necessary steps you might need to make, because there's some post-deployment changes, like you have to update, let's say, the SO catalog to include certain specific, you know, controller execution building block actions in order to do the post-instantiation steps. And I step you through how that's done as well. And then there is one more thing that you have to do, is the bootstrap command that loads all the CDS models. And you know, some of these things we're gonna fully automate in the Goulian release, so you don't need to, you know, so it works fully out of the box. But right now you have to do some post-deployment steps. Once the post-deployment steps are done, then you can go to SDC and create your models. And once you create the SDC models, it talks about populating the, you know, SDNC artifact name, model name, model version itself. So all of this is captured here in the wiki page of how to achieve the this specific use case. You can also see controller actor. This was something that was added in Frankfurt release. We talk about, you know, setting at STDS if you want to execute the post instantiation use case.
I see. All right. Can you put this link in the, or is that a?
Yeah, I can share this link. And then you can also see what are the runtime activities that you can execute. There's automation with robot, and there's also Postman manual. So those are the two things that we talked about. And there is also a video that Abdul from Orange did that kind of goes over all the steps that we talked about as well. And, you know, the end results of what happens after you execute the runtime.
Yuri, you want to send the link, page link to us in the chat, or?
Yeah, 1 second.
Okay, great.
Excellent. So it talks about, you know, all the different type of runtime activities we did, and there's a bunch of logs as well that you can take a look at. And finally, if you wanna understand, you know, the runtime execution flow, right, of what's happening, we also captured the sequence diagrams for that, or the swim lanes of how the runtime looks like. So when we trigger the macro flow, you can see that the SDNC will call CDS, and CDS will call all the resource resolution capabilities using naming microservice or netbox. It will call itself, or, you know, assigning defaults, inputs, and it can also get data from ANI as well, or put data into ANI. So it's very flexible framework for, you know, doing your provisioning and configuration management activities itself. All right, so let's see where we are with our flow. Let's look at, first of all, OpenStack. Okay, so it looks like SO is taking some time to execute the next step. So right now we created one successfully, next invoking again the VF module, and sometimes SO takes a while to execute in the lab environment. So you might see a delay in the execution. Okay, so you see here, it took 5 minutes for SO to execute the next one, but once it's executed, it would create this, you know, the next add-on stack that is needed, which is the VPKJ.
it will also create the VLB and VDNS as well once the gateway is completed. So I can also say a little more. So once you're done, let's say with the instantiation, we also have implemented scale out using CDNs. You can trigger scale out request, and that would make sure that we can scale out a module. In this case, the module is going to be the VLB module. Once we scale out the VLB module in the OpenStack, you can also reconfigure the VDNS to include the VLB IP address that it needs to now load balance between itself. And then you can also do a scale in. So it's a very simple use case of scale in that would just delete the module that you want to delete. And it would also remove the VLB IP address from VDNS. It will reconfigure the VDNS to remove that VLB IP address itself. Okay, so those are the other use cases we can showcase for VDNS. All right, so let me see where we are now. So it's time.
Just also a quick question. maybe after you do this, I'm also curious, what's next for CDS? What's your roadmap, or what's the next big thing that you're working on?
So there is a lot of work going on for supporting the different CNF use cases in ONAP in general, and CDS is going to play a part for resource resolution like it did for OpenStack. So that's one major thing that a different set of organizations are working on next. I think the main part to kind of make things more simpler is to finish the designer UI, because once you have the designer UI, the package creation process is going to be very simple to do and easy from a user perspective. So the adoption of the framework will, kind of move faster and forward for different set of organizations, of course. So those are I would say the major activities that are going on, making sure we finish up the designer UI work, and then also work on the CNF set of use cases that we're enabling for deploying the different clusters and pods using ONAP itself.
I see. Yeah, that's a big R7 use case, yeah.
Now, there's also a multi-tenancy that Bell is leading with Huawei and others, and again, CDS is impacted by that and policy component. But from a CDS perspective, I think our main goal is to complete the design UI. That's the major big hurdle from a user experience. We don't want our users to build these models or manage these models manually, right? It should be some automation tool behind it. All right, so let's see where we are. Okay, now it's doing activate. Once activate is done, it will go on to do the post instantiation. So you can see all the heat stacks are created. Each one has a unique name. Each one has a unique IP address, right? There's no preloads in this solution. It's fully automated solution. It's zero touch, you can say.
Those names are automatically generated, or is it from?
Say it again.
Are those names automatically generated, or yeah?
We have a name policy that generates the names using a convention, right? So you can see there's a convention for all these names. It's that has the cloud region plus the label, right? So you can see the is it a base or is it whatever the stack is, right? Plus some unique sequencing here and the timestamp. So, and this same naming convention we also use for CNF set of use cases that we did in Frankfurt release.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, so once the it's executing the macro flow, so right now it's gonna do this post instantiation call to update the IP address of the VDNS to include the VLB IPs.
I just had a question too. The back to that other screen, are those collections sort of? I know they're defined by that VLB use case that you said, but are those sort of common collections that you would expect people to have? Those are ones that are typical, right? Or is there?
Right. So I can use basically the same collection to execute the vFirewall use case. I can say that right now we're doing this through, you know, the Postman, but technically you can do this through Vid as well. Okay, so or through robot. You don't need the Postman collection was there for, it's good for like manual testing and, you know, just kind of make sure you find all the bugs. But once you know that the framework is working and it's scalable, you can use robot or Vid for doing all the instantiation set of use cases that we have. You don't need the Postman collection itself. But the Postman collections are pretty much generic. You just want to make sure you're using the right reference data to change for your set of use cases.
I see.
Okay, so now it's completed the post instantiation step. Okay, so everything is now completed. You see micro successfully requested. Now if I what I can do is VLB, let me see if I can. Give me 1 minute. I want to look at the IPs we have for the VLB, and I'll try to do a scale out, and then I'll do a scale in to show those examples as well. If you guys have time. Let's try this IP. Okay, so you can see we put 192.168.0.10.14, 10.0.101.14, and this is, should match what we have here. Okay, this is the what we pushed using the post instantiation command. I can try to do a scale out and see if that's okay now. All right, so scale out is triggered. And it's in progress. So first thing, it will do a health check. And once the health check is done, it will do a signed VF module. And then it will do the post instantiation configuration changes.
What is the visualize there in the body?
In the body? Can you say it again? It
says pretty raw preview visualize. Yeah, right there.
There's, you know, I'm not sure.
It's just a way to visualize, I guess, the response, I see. And these are all JSON encoded, I guess, is that right?
Yes. So this is the, we're using the Postman for doing this test execution. So now it's doing the create module. So it's adding an additional module itself. So let me go back to the stack view. And you can see here that it's adding another VDNS. And once that VDNS is added, we will go ahead and do post instantiation on the VLB.
Sorry, so those green dots next to authorization and test, that just means you're authorized, I guess, and up above a little bit. Oops. Yeah.
Oh, here?
Yes. Yeah, the green dot just means that you're log, you know, that you're logged in, I guess, or something, right?
I think it's accepting whatever the username and password we have.
I see.
Okay, so now it's doing activate VF module, and once activate is done, we'll do the post instantiation. And now it's doing the post instantiation using the controller execution building block. So you can see now the VDNS is completed, and if you look at CDS, it's doing another post instantiation. This time it's using the IP of 192.168.10.15. so when I do the, what do you call it? The VLB test, the get command, you'll see instead of just one IP of .14, you should see a .15 as well. So let me go back here. And let's give it a 2 minutes. So we have a 2 minute timer to make sure that, because whenever the stack comes up in OpenStack, it might take some time to execute the cloud init script. So we give it some, we added a sleeper time before we execute the post instantiation command. And this can be changed within your script that you have that's executing this command. So you can change it, to be 0 minutes or 5 minutes based on your specific environment.
How are you flipping back and forth, Peter? Is that just another window you have up on that?
The Blueprint processor logs.
I see.
That we're viewing here.
It's just like a PuTTY session or something, or?
Yes.
I see.
So once this tells us we're done, we can look at the VDNS and verify that the .15 was added. It's completed. So if you look here, it's invoking health check now, but we can go and check. So you see one IP, now you'll see .15. And you'll see .14. So you see two IPs. Okay, so let's wait for, the health check seems to be completed as well. So give me 1 second. Let me just check if it's completed. Okay, now scale out is completed. Let's say you wanna scale in, the one you orchestrated. So you can execute scale in command. And scale in will also, should remove the .15. So let me see if SO is going to cooperate. Yeah, it might take some time for this one to execute. So scale in would just remove the IP, so it will remove the stack in OpenStack. So right now you see the sequence is 0.2. So this zero, if you do scale out multiple times, you'll go up from 0.2 to 0.3, 0.4, and so on. Scale in would just remove the stack and also clean up the configuration that was put on as part of the post-instantiation itself. That's what eventually happens with this specific use case, but it might take some time for us to execute it. Do you guys want to wait, or do you want to call it a day?
Yeah, I can wait. Yeah. Okay. Does anybody else have any questions for Yuri about anything? So are there other use cases that have similar sort of collections that you have, or is this the main?
No, the CNF use case, there's also a use case that we have for VLB and vFirewall. Mm-hmm. There's use case that uses TDS, okay, that does not necessarily have this Postman collection. Is the PNF set of use cases, right? That Zoo has been leading, that have CDS talking to ODL for pushing some configuration. So there's various different use cases that we leverage in order to show some of the capabilities we have within this framework.
I see.
All right, so let's give it a few minutes. It looks like it's gonna take some time for SO to trigger this. Are there any other questions? All right, so let's get.
You want to say something about these other, like the test get, test put, test delete, enrich, blueprint processor download. What are those things?
So basically, these tests. Put and test delete are things that, you know, we use to, you know, kind of see what are the commands we need to do in order to add something to the VLB that the scale out does, or delete something with, you know, the scale in does that, right? So we used to test them through Postman and then verify them and then use the macro to execute the same commands through CDS itself. Now, CDS enrich, when, you know, that basically does the enrichment of the package we create as part of design time. So there are certain files. So when we create our packages, right, the enrichment function would validate the package is in the valid format, not just from a JSON perspective, but from a, you know, from a package perspective, because we might have, do we have the correct node types? Do we have the correct relationships? Do we have the right artifacts defined within the package? That enrichment function would validate if the package is valid, but it also complete the package. So if there is something that defines in the package that is dependent on other artifacts and node types, the enrichment function would go collect that data and provide it as a full package to the users itself. So you cannot, you know, when you create your package, you know, you cannot just use the package as is. You always have to run enrich, so it fulfills the package based on the dependency it has and validates the package. And then you would deploy that package using the, you know, this CDS enrich blueprint save. So that's, and that would deploy the package, save it in the runtime store. Then there's a download of the packages. And there's, you know, two download of the packages. They're same commands. And then there's also CDS executions. So these are different test cases we executed for testing imperative workflow or health check or lock test or resource assignment itself. There are other Postman collections we have here that basically test like MDSAL just to see if the data that we have resolved through CDS and SDNC, if we can view it, is it visible? And there's also some health check APIs. That's pretty much it. Let's go back and see where we are with scaling. All right, so scaling triggered. So it's doing the activate and the delete VF module. So you can see right now this stack is being deleted. Okay. So one thing I did notice, probably scaling is not going to work because if you can see here, I did a manual delete and OpenStack is taking forever to delete. So I think there's some OpenStack problem. Mm. So this use case probably is not going to work. So what would happen is that...
Wait, how did you know that previous thing was connected to the thing that you were just looking at, the things below?
Which ones?
The ones in the bottom of this list. You said that these were still in progress. They're connected to the things that you're trying to expand. They're also being deleted. Is that what I heard?
No. These are use cases I tried before. This was the test run, right? And I tried to clean up and I tried to delete all of this, all these stacks I created as part of the test run, but the delete function itself is not working.
I see.
So scale in probably will not work as well, because you can see the delete function itself is not working for some reason in this environment. So I have to ask Morgan to see if he can, help with this issue. What would happen if, once you delete the stack, you would then run a post instantiation command to delete the IP, the 15 that we added, and that would be completed using the scaling function itself. And that's pretty much it.
Just a final question. The get post, those colored things on the far left, get, delete, post, what does that exactly mean again? The in the far left, in the green get, yeah, and the red delete, the yellow post.
Right. So in REST, right, you have different verbs you use for getting commands or modifying, editing, right? Or you can delete. So the get is just a REST verb of using.
Oh, I see. Okay. Okay.
The retrieve function, right? Post is modification and delete is the deletion, right? So scale in is really a delete curl command, right? Scale out is a modification, which is a post command. And these other things are just a get verb, because they're all
doing it. Yeah, got it.
Data. All right. Are there any other questions? If there are no other questions, I want to just thank Ben for inviting Sarah and myself to this session. And thank you, Sarah, for going over the presentation of the CDS Designer UI. Appreciate your support.
Yeah, thank you, everybody. The recording and the demo will be available on today's wiki. And then 2 weeks from now, Yuri will be hosting a discussion with us discussing the 5U service modeling, some of the ideas there. So sorry you ran over, and thanks for sticking in there, and have a great day. Thanks.
Take care. Bye.